going to dig right into God's word today, man. We're going to be in the New Testament today, the book of Philemon, or Philemon, or Philemon, or Philemon, or Philemon, or Philemon, if you're French. This is one of these fun words to say. Sorry, I got kind of started and I just couldn't find a way out. I really feel like that O should have an accent over it. Philemon. What are you talking about? It's a book in the Bible. We'll find it. It's right in between Hebrews. It's right before Hebrews. So it's the last letter that Paul writes. And we're continuing our series, Major or Minor Notes, Major Noise. Everybody say Minor Notes, Major Noise. And we've been really specifically zeroing in on some of the minor characters of the Bible, some minor stories of the Bible, things you don't hear about a lot in Sunday school and just you don't hear talked about because they're kind of under the radar, they're kind of in the background stories, but man, there's powerful, powerful truths and major, major impact that God did and God continues to do with minor notes. Amen? Amen, somebody? You do not have to be a major character to make a major impact. Amen? In fact, why don't you say that right now? I don't have to be a major character to make a major impact. And so we've been talking about that. We're going to be in the book of Philemon today, or Philemon, however you want to say it. I'm going to have a hard time not saying that now. Philemon, chapter verse, where it's only one chapter long. So chapter 1, verse 10 through 12, we're going to read. It says, I appeal to you to show kindness to my child, Onesimus. I became his father in the faith while here in prison. Onesimus hasn't been of much use to you in the past, but now he is very useful to both of us, and I'm sending him back to you, and with him comes my own heart. Let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your presence right now. God, I ask you to speak to us in a very clear, very powerful way. Lord, I ask for your anointing, God, to fill this place. God, I ask for your presence, God, to fill this place. And I pray, God, that you would make us alert, make us open, allow us to hear and to see everything that you've called us here and brought us into this moment to hear and to see today. In Jesus' precious name, everybody said amen and amen. Okay, so this is going to be, speaking of names real quick, I really did this. There's this, the characters that we're looking at today in the book of Philemon, I'm going to keep saying it. Sorry. Just going to have to get over it, and I'm going to joke, laugh at every time. Anyway, the book in this book, Philemon here, another funny name. This is like a book full of really funny Bible names. Is there anybody pregnant in the room today? Anybody expecting a child? I don't see anyone. Okay, so anyway, or maybe planning to have a baby soon. Maybe we're like, maybe I am. I don't know. Anyway, I was really hoping that some wife would raise her hand. They hadn't told their husband yet. And that would be like the moment that the reveal happened. But anyway, if you are maybe still in that baby having stage or getting ready to have another baby, I just have a great idea right here out of the Bible for a great Bible name that I think is not used a lot if you're looking for a unique name. And it's this guy by the name of Onesimus. That's who we're going for today. But I really spent a lot of time because the way the vowels and the letters look, I just kept finding funny ways, at least funny to me, to say that name. One, and so I don't think you should pronounce it Onesimus like it's correct. I think it'd be cool if you pronounce his name Onesimus. You know what I mean? How about like that? Onesimus. So if you're looking for a cool name, I think that's a cool baby name, Onesimus. It's kind of like Maximus, which is where I named our fourth and final child. I looked real hard to make sure Luann didn't raise her hand when he said, is anybody expecting a baby today too? I made sure that we were good there. So if you didn't raise your hand, you're lying at church. So anyway, she pretty much got her way with most of the baby names of our other three children. I said, you know what? This is my fourth, the final kid. I want the name that I want. And I went for Luca Maximus. And I make no bones about it. Straight out of the movie Gladiator, Russell Crowe's character, Maximus Aurelius. And that's where it comes from. And so Onesimus, I think, is a little bit of a play on that. But if you say it Onesimus, what I imagine is like, this like a onesie. You know, like I think of a onesie with like a guy and a sword. I don't know. So anyway, I shared all that, just a little deep dive into my jacked up mind, to say that what we're going to be looking at, our minor character we're looking at today, is this guy by the name of Onesimus. Everybody say Onesimus, or say Onesimus, however you want to say it. It's fine. We're butchering all the Bible names today. So this guy Onesimus, who is, when I just said it by accident, I didn't even mean to do it. This guy Onesimus, who is Onesimus? Here's who he is. Onesimus is a runaway slave who has run away from his master, who happens to be Philemon, Onesimus has run away, and somewhere, and you can read the whole, in fact, I encourage you this week, tomorrow maybe, get up, and when you have your Bible reading time, read this chapter in the Bible to really get the full story. And it'll take you literally about 3.5 minutes. You can read this very short personal letter that makes it in the Bible that Paul writes to this guy, Philemon. And so what happens is Onesimus has run away from his master. He's a runaway slave in Rome, and somewhere in Rome, him and Paul cross paths, and him and Paul become friends, and Paul leads Onesimus, this runaway slave, to Jesus. And then Onesimus begins to serve God and help Paul out in the ministry, and through their relationship, they realize that Paul has led Onesimus to Christ, but also Paul is great friends with the slave master that Onesimus is running away from, and it just so happens that not only are Paul and Philemon great friends, but Paul also led Philemon to Christ as well. And so what happens in this letter is that Paul is writing this letter on behalf of Onesimus, a runaway slave, to his master Philemon, and he's asking Philemon to release Onesimus from slavery, to set him free so that he can come back to Paul and help Paul in the church. And this is the other thing about this moment that's interesting, is that this is probably written around the time frame of Acts chapter 28, where the book of Acts ends, where Paul is actually in prison himself. He's actually living on house arrest, or we might be saying he's living on lockdown. We've all heard that term several more times than we want to count over the last few months. But that's where Paul is. He's on lockdown. He's on house arrest. He's under Roman imprisonment as he awaits trial to go see Caesar. And he comes across this guy, Onesimus. And right off the bat, I think one thing that is unbelievable that you have to understand here real quick to get the full grasp of the major impact that God is doing here in this moment, in this little minor character, this very small book of the New Testament that Paul, that found its way into Scripture to speak to us today. And it's this. Listen to me close. Onesimus is a runaway slave. He is under bondage. He is in chains, right? Paul is in chains. He is in bondage. He is in prison. And here's what you see right away from that. Listen to me close. Don't miss this. Listen, chains cannot stop the gospel from reaching you, and chains cannot stop the gospel from using you. No matter what your current situation, no matter what kind of bondage you might be dealing with, no matter what kind of addiction, no matter what kind of thing you might be trying to run away from and get free from, and how bad it is and how big it is and how crazy it is, listen, there are no chains that can stop Jesus and the gospel from reaching you. And on the very other side of that coin, no matter what your current present situation looks like, no matter what kind of lockdown you might feel like you're on, no matter what kind of thing feels like it has got its arms around your throat, listen to me, nothing can stop the gospel from using you. Paul is in prison leading people to Christ. Onesimus is a slave being led to Christ. The gospel has no limits, has no bounds. There is nothing that can stop Jesus from reaching you. There is nothing that can stop Jesus from using you if we remain open to him, no matter what our situation is. Amen, somebody? And so God then uses this minor guy's life, Onesimus, that this is literally about the only thing besides a few other historical accounts and mentions of Onesimus. This is the only moment we have in his life, is this moment where Paul is writing this letter. However, in this little small moment of this guy's life, who really is not a major character or doesn't seem to play a major role in the New Testament and in the story of the church being birthed post-book of Acts, listen, he uses this moment in this slave's life to make a major, major, major impact that we still feel ripples of and still should frame the way we look at people and the gospel today. Here's what it is. Listen, through Paul's letter, God uses Onesimus' life to completely change the conversation about humanity, about slavery, and about the class system that exists in that time and that continues to exist and should continue to frame our idea of the value and the equality of human life that God creates all throughout history. And here it is right here, because in this moment, now you need to understand that much like any other place in the world, just like we in our nation that we experienced 200 years ago, just like any other place where slavery abounds and slavery was a part of the culture. Listen, a Roman slave was viewed as property. They were viewed with people that had no rights. In fact, they were not even viewed as people. And certainly, Onesimus, a runaway slave, in fact, the Roman culture was so built on slavery, that it was predicted and it's thought that at one time, somewhere upwards of 60 million people lived under the bonds of slavery in the Roman Empire. In fact, there were so many people, the reason there were so many slaves, that any type of disobedience, any type of running away, any type of anything was usually treated incredibly harshly by the Roman government and by their owners because they cannot afford to have 60 million people rise up in rebellion. So they had to completely keep them under chains and under fear, okay? So Onesimus, if he is to go back to his master, if he is caught, he is certainly looking at a punishment of death or possibly even worse. Torture, dismemberment, the most brutal and harsh ways of death imaginable, even maybe beyond that of crucifixion, which was way, way up there. Okay? So this is for sure a death sentence. And Paul, he said, well, here's the deal. Listen, it's easy for us 200 years post-slavery in our own nation and without ever a thought of that being in our mind, it's easier for us to point the finger and go, well, how in the world could anybody think that? But here's the deal. If that's just the way you were raised and if that's just the culture you live in and that's just your normal, it doesn't come across your mind. Something has to, a noise has to be made. Something has to be done to change the conversation and change the way you look at it. And Paul does it right here. In Philemon chapter 1, verse 16, he's writing to his master, Philemon again. Onesimus is a slave who has found Christ. Philemon is a slave owner, okay, who also knows Jesus and who Paul knows both of them. This is what he says. This is what changes the conversation forever. He says, he, speaking of Onesimus, is no longer like a slave to you. He is more than a slave, for he is a beloved brother, especially to me. Now he will mean much more to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. Now, you have to understand what a revolutionary idea and concept this is to a Roman citizen, a Roman, somebody who probably is wealthy, probably if you own a slave, that means you're of the upper class, you're a highborn, you're a wealthy guy. You have influence. This is part of your life. This is part of your lifestyle. So you have to understand the revolutionary thought that the gospel is speaking through Paul as he says, now in Christ, this slave who you have previously viewed as less than you and not even on the same level as you as a man, he says, you got to understand that Jesus loves both of you just the same. And if Jesus loves the slave just the way that he loves you, guess what? That means that slave is on the same level as you. That means that person who you viewed as less than you, as nobody, or as underneath you, guess what? Christ has now elevated them to where you and him are on the same plane. Both as a man, he says, and even beyond as a man, he says, he is now your family. He has now become your brother. This is Paul in jail, in prison, on house arrest, using the privilege that God has granted him to speak up for someone who is less than privileged. This is Paul being compelled by the gospel of Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit inside of him, recognizing that even in his place of prison, think about this, Paul, even in prison, recognizes that even when he's in prison, this runaway slave is in a worse off place than he is and says, you know what? I am compelled by the love of God to do something for someone else that is worse off than me. I am compelled to step up and to raise my voice and to use whatever means, tools, and privilege I have available to me on behalf of someone who has less than me. That's the impact. Listen, Jesus followers should be the first to stand up for those that are underprivileged. Amen? Why is it so quiet in here? Listen, if you have a hard time amening that, then you need to check your heart. Because that should be across the board. No questions asked. I'm not talking about the word. Listen. I know that somewhere in our politically charged this tribe versus this tribe mentality, you hear the word privilege and you think I'm talking about Black Lives Matter. You think I'm talking about liberal versus conservative, Republican versus Democrat. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about recognizing that, yes, I may, whether it's because of my skin color, whether it's because of my place in life, whether it's because of the place I was born or whatever, yes, I've got to recognize I have certain privileges in my life that are not necessarily afforded to everyone else. Amen, somebody. And as a follower of Jesus, I should be the first person. The church should be the loudest voice standing up and raising our voice on behalf of those that may have less than us. Regardless of their skin color, regardless of where they are, if we see injustice and we see an underprivileged situation that we have a privilege to address and deal with as a follower of Christ, how can we not be the first person to stand up and address the issue? This is exactly what Paul does. He is writing Philemon, who is a Roman citizen, a wealthy man, and a slave owner, and saying this slave now has value to you that he never had before because of Jesus. And because Jesus is the same for him as he is for you, that means you are now family. You are now brothers. And he encourages him, now change the conversation and let him go. Friends, if we call ourselves followers of Jesus and we are not willing to stand up and put ourselves on the line and raise our voice on behalf of any kind, I don't care if it's racially motivated, I don't care if it's age motivated, I don't care what it is, we should be stepping up for those, extending whatever privileges we may have. Again, I can't hammer this enough. Well, I don't have any privilege. Well, Paul was in prison. And he recognized, hey, I'm better off than this cat. Come on, somebody. And he still found a way to do it. Listen, that's the major noise. That's the major impact that Onesimus' life makes. Now, Onesimus had no idea we don't know about his story. We don't know the situation. We don't know what happened and transpired that he was able to escape his slave master. We don't know what happened that he was able to escape his house that he was a slave to. But he never had an idea that when he left, God was going to use his story to begin to shape and change the conversation about how people of God should look at everybody else and about how God and Jesus feels about how people, the equality of people across the board. That's a major, major shift. And I love the way that it's such a major impact, and yet it's hidden in such a very minor and low-key letter that Paul is really just, this is the thing that sets this letter apart from any other of the letters of the New Testament is that except for Timothy and Titus, this is one of Paul's personal letters. You know, when you see all the other books of the Bible where it's Ephesians, Colossians, that's Paul writing to a big group of people, a church, okay? So imagine if there was an Apostle Paul today, and he was writing a letter to Red Life Church. It would be called the Letter to Red Life Church. That's what Ephesians and Colossians are. But this is just a personal letter that Paul's writing to his friend on behalf of another friend, and in it is such a revolutionary change of Paul putting his faith in action, standing up for someone who has less than him. And here's that's the major impact, but here's the minor, low-key way that it takes place. I want you to watch this. Don't miss this. Listen. Paul has told Onesimus, you have to go back. You've broken the law. You're fleeing from authorities. Saying, Onesimus, guess what? You're doing it the wrong way. Got to go back. Now, I know in our mind, we're all about fight the power, right? I know I am. Hey, if we see injustice, then we've got to take to the streets. And I believe sometimes there's a place for that. But there's also a place sometimes where the fighting that needs to be done is not in fighting the system. It's in actually surrendering to the system and trusting God to make the changes that need to happen. That's exactly what Paul tells Onesimus to do. Watch this. He's saying, listen, here's the minor note, the minor thing to take away, because it's so low-key and it's so under the radar, and yet God used this under the radar, such low-key moment to do such a big thing. He says, listen, surrendering to Christ for Onesimus meant not fighting the system. It meant surrendering to it. Okay? We get so caught up sometimes. Listen, if you haven't heard anything else, if you're a Christian, I want you to listen to this. We can get so caught up in fighting for the faith and defending our faith that we spend all of our time fighting and none of our time just living. Amen? And I want you to listen to me very close. Do not miss this. God doesn't need you to defend your faith as much as he needs you to live it. Amen, somebody? Let me say that one more time. God doesn't need you and me defending the faith as much as he just simply needs people to live it. In fact, I'm going to take that thought one step further and really tick some people off. But if my faith is in something that constantly needs me to step up, fight, and defend it, I better put my faith in something else. Amen, somebody? Because if my faith is dependent upon me constantly fighting for it and constantly defending it, friend, that's a faith I don't need to have anything in. That's something I don't need to have faith in. Listen, God does not need you and I defending him. God does not need you and I fighting for him. He just needs you and me living for him. And that's exactly what plays out in every single person. We got Paul, we got Philemon, we got Onesimus, and every single one of them in this moment are given an opportunity to live their faith without ever having to fight for it, without ever having to defend it. In fact, that's really the crux of this verse. In verse 6 of this book, Paul says this as he's addressing Philemon. He says, I'm praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. Before Paul breaks down his purpose for writing, he's saying to him, you have an opportunity right now, I'm about to tell you what it is, but you're going to have an opportunity to put your faith in action, to live your faith, to just simply do what Christ's love compels you to do. And here's the deal. For each one of these guys, listen, faith in action looked a little bit different. For Paul, his step of faith in action, his living the faith, meant that he was going to extend the privilege that he had, both with Philemon as an apostle and as a pastor, and in his situation life, he was going to extend his privilege on behalf of someone who had none. That was Paul putting his faith in action. Philemon putting his faith in action, listen, meant abandoning what was his by right. Philemon, in this legal system, has every right to do with Onesimus whatever he chooses. And the step of faith was actually abandoning what was his rights and doing what the gospel compelled him to do. Amen, somebody? See, sometimes what we call our rights stand in opposition to what actually faith demands. That's Philemon. And at that moment, we get a chance to put our faith in action. Come on, somebody. For Onesimus, his faith in action was not continuing to run, not continuing to hide, not continuing. It was actually surrendering to an unjust, unfair, and cruel system, and trusting that everybody else was going to do the right thing according to their walk with God. Not fighting for it, not suing anybody, but trusting God, surrendering to it. And you know what's amazing? Is that for each one of those people, each one of those actions of faith, putting into action the generosity that you've experienced in Christ. For each one of those people, it looked a little different. It was a different actual step, but it was all really, if you think about it, it's all really just another extension of what Jesus has already done for each and every one of us and had already done for them. Amen? For Paul to extend his privilege, he's able to do that because he recognized that Jesus extended his privilege for him years ago on the cross. And that's what he's done for every single one. Why can I extend my privilege? Why should I be the one to stand up for injustice? Why should I be the one to stand up for those that have less than me? Because Jesus stood up for us when we had nothing. Amen, somebody. Jesus gave everything that the Father had given to him. Jesus spent it on behalf of you and I to the point of shedding his own blood on a hill called Calvary. Amen. Why can Philemon, why can he abandon his rights, what is his by right, as a step of faith? Why? Because Jesus abandoned and let go and released all of his rights as the Father, as the Son of God, the creator of the universe. He let go of all of his rights when he surrendered himself to the cross. Amen? How can I take that? If that's my step of faith, if my step of faith is surrender and not fighting, how can I do that? I can do that because Jesus surrendered himself to an unfair, unjust, and unequal system. And in doing so, secured salvation for all mankind. Every step of faith is simply a reflection of what Jesus has already done for you and for me. Amen? And when we do that, no matter what our role is, no matter what the size of our name, no matter how many people know about, major impact happens. And here's what you got to understand. Listen, I'm almost done. A minor step of faith today releases infinite possibility into my tomorrow. A minor step of putting my faith in action today will release an infinite possibility into my tomorrow. Let me tell you what we probably know. We don't see it in Scripture, but we know it from other historical writings around the same time. You say, well, where's the rest of the story? We don't see the reunion between Onesimus and Philemon. We don't know what happened when he goes back with this letter from Paul. What we do know is that Paul in the book of Acts plants and starts the church in Ephesus. God moves mightily. We know from history that it was said that the Christians in Ephesus would gather in the Roman Colosseum, which would have seated several thousand, probably 10 to 15,000 people. They would have their church service in the Colosseum in Ephesus on Sunday mornings. Timothy, Paul starts that church, hands the reins over to Timothy, and Timothy, his other son of the faith, led that church for years and years and years. And then one person after Timothy, there's letters and writings that refer to the Bishop of Ephesus, and his name was Onesimus. Onesimus becomes the leader of one of the largest churches in the New Testament, becomes the third pastor leading that movement, and he started as a runaway slave. And because Paul put his faith in action, and Philemon put his faith in action, and Onesimus put his faith in action, unlimited and infinite possibility took place in Onesimus' life, to where God raises him up from a runaway slave to leading one of the largest movements that affected the entire world. When I take a step of faith today, I am unleashing infinite possibility into my tomorrow. When I am reflecting in my daily life and in the choices I make, what Jesus has already accomplished for me on the cross, I am unleashing his power, his blessing, and his possibility into my tomorrow. Amen, somebody? And I don't know where God wants to take you from where you are right now. And I don't know what the step of faith God might be dealing with you about right now is. But I want to encourage you. Whatever it is, do it. Even if it's scary, Even if it remains, I mean, I just, the thought of what Onesimus has to trust, he is literally walking into a situation where 9 out of 10 times, 9.5 times out of 10 times, he's literally going back to die. And all he has is this letter from Paul and hope that as he is doing what he's supposed to do, this other man of God is going to do what he's supposed to do. And it happens. And then we have no idea the journey that Onesimus takes, except we just know he was named the Bishop of Ephesus. Infinite possibility. Stand all over his place this morning. You have no idea what kind of gifts, what kind of dreams, what kind of pursuits, what kind of destiny, what kind of purpose, and what kind of things God wants to unleash through your life for the kingdom of God. Paul probably has no idea that a few years after he writes this letter, God's going to raise Onesimus up to be this great leader, this great pastor, this preacher of the gospel. All he knows is that it's somebody that needs help right now. Missionary that God wants to raise up and send to China or send to Africa or send to some place that's going to see millions of souls saved. What if he's some kid in a broken home on welfare and food stamps? Somebody to notice him. Just waiting on somebody to give him a hand. Just waiting on somebody. That's literally what Onesimus is here. Guys, we gotta get unwrapped and looking at our little thing and our little stuff and our little and our and I know I'm not listen man I'm not, I know. I know you're dealing with stuff. I know we got problems, man. We all got them. So did Paul. And he still found a way. Amen. I want to encourage us today, man. I just want to ask God to open our eyes to the minor steps of faith that he's called us to make right now, that he wants to use to set up our futures. And I want to ask God to open our eyes. Open our eyes to the Onesimuses. That's fun to say. Open our eyes to the Onesimuses around us. That are just waiting for someone to notice their plight and say, man, it's not much, but I can do it. It's not much. It's not much. All Paul does is write a letter. I can't adopt that kid. I can't fix that thing. I can't feed and clothe them for the next 10 years. I can't. Okay. Maybe we can't do that. What can we do? Come on, somebody. Well, I can't do it for everybody. Okay, but can we do it for that one? Amen. Just because we can't do it for everybody doesn't mean we shouldn't do it for somebody. Amen, somebody. I'm going to ask God to open our eyes and help us to take the step of faith that we need. If you're in this place today, you don't know Jesus, I want you to know he loves you. He loves you with a love that is without measure. He He loves you with a love that is without any strings attached, and he showed that 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross for you and for me. If you're in this place today, you don't know Jesus, man, I want to encourage you. You can do that today. I don't really feel like raising our hands and praying that. That's where we are. Because I really feel like God is speaking to people right now that are him, and I want to just lean into that. Man, if you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, listen, the only reason that we can talk about helping anybody, the only reason that we can care at all is because we've experienced the love of Jesus, and he wants you to know that too. I just put myself out there. If that's where you are, they say, man, I want to know more about this Jesus, please come. I'll be either right outside that door or probably right outside that one right there. Come find me before you leave today, and I would love to talk to you and pray to you about that more. That's all I'm going to say about that. Amen? We're going to worship. These altars are open. If you need prayer, man, we're here for you to pray. But I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit as we close this time to open our eyes and fill us with his strength to do whatever steps we need to take, whatever putting our faith in action looks like. God, let us do that. Heavenly Father, let's pray right now. Open our eyes. Open our eyes, God, to those that you have already placed around us. Lord, don't let us be so caught up in our own stuff. Don't let us be so caught up in our own bondage. Don't let us be so caught up in our own chains. Don't let us be caught up in our own, so caught up in our own lockdown that we don't see the people right next to us, God, that have it so much worse than us. And I pray, God, that when you do show us that, when our heart gets touched with something, Lord, I pray that, Holy Spirit, you will fill us with your strength, with your grace to take whatever minor step it may be, whether it is writing a simple letter, whether it is buying a simple meal, God, no matter what it is, whatever the thing you put our heart to do, God, give us the faith to do it in Jesus' name. And I thank you right now, God, thank you right now that as a people, God, as a body of believers, God, I believe that we are in a moment right now that, God, we are taking steps of faith that are unlocking infinite possibility into our tomorrow, Father, and we receive that in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Stretch your hands this way. Stretch your hands this way. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, and the Lord give you peace in Jesus' name.